Thank you, Dr. Veal. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 this morning. It's a joy to get to open the Word of God every time, whether in the dorm or here in chapel. It's a privilege to and responsibility to preach the Word of God, but what an honor. It's a joy to have my family with me this morning. My parents were able to make it down from Pennsylvania yesterday, and their support, both financially and just encouraging me, praying for me, has been a blessing through the years. And, of course, my fiance is here today. And, you know, I could talk a whole lot about her, but I'd really like to get into preaching this morning. But certainly God has been so good, and I praise the Lord for that. July 21st, 1969. It's a date that probably to many of you is meaningless, unless you lived through that era. It is a day that perhaps you not quickly recognize for its significance. But having traveled over 240,000 miles in just a matter of days, the Apollo 11 missions team had arrived at its destination. It was on that day that Neil Armstrong first stepped onto the surface of the moon as he uttered these words, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Now, it's interesting. Today, if you go online and research, you'd find that that statement and what he actually said is debated. Some say that he said that's one small step for a man. Others would say that he said that's one small step for man. You can go on NASA's website, you can listen to the audio file, and apparently Neil Armstrong himself disputes what he actually said. But regardless of the words that he actually uttered, and the change in the meaning either way, regardless of what he intended to say at that moment, as he placed his foot on that lunar soil, the significance of that moment surely was not lost upon him. It was an unprecedented step taken in the history of mankind. It was a celebratory step as it proved the expertise of NASA's scientists and engineers. It was a victorious step as it heralded the victory of the United States over the Soviet Union in the space race. That was the significance of Neil Armstrong's first step on the moon. Today, we can look back over the school year, particularly for us college students, and see how that we are closing another chapter in our lives. We have taken another step in our education. Some of us, we will be returning here in a year and continuing with taking another step through college. Others of us who are graduating, we have completed this. We have completed this process and we'll be taking another step in the stage of life, moving on to whatever God has called us to. But whether you're a college student here this morning, perhaps a visitor or a parent with us, or even a Bible professor, God always has another step ahead of us in our lives until our life is completed. We aren't done growing. We haven't finished the work that He has called us to until He has said that our life is completed. The fact is, until that day that our life is done, God has another step, but He will never force us to take it. We must be willing to take the next spiritual step, whatever it might be. Today we will see that although he was 85 years old, Caleb was willing to take the next spiritual step in his life. Caleb, an 85-year-old man, a spiritual giant to the Israelite nation, he was willing to take the next spiritual step. So we'll begin reading in Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the hearts of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim. And the land had rest from war. Today I want you to look at with me the three steps in this process that Caleb took to take the next spiritual step. First of all, he recalled God's promise. He recalled God's promise there in verses 6 through 9. Caleb remembered God's promise to his claim on the land. We don't have time to go through the whole history of Caleb. We could look through the book of Numbers. We could look through the book of Deuteronomy. We could look time and time again how that because of his faithfulness, God abundantly blessed Caleb and promised him with an inheritance in the land. You could find it in Numbers chapter 14. You could find it restated in Deuteronomy chapter 1, wherein because Caleb had made the decision not only to go in and by faith spy out the land of Canaan before the Israelites went into the land to take it, but he was one of the men. He and Joshua were the men that stood for what is right and said, "We know our God can enable us to take this land." He was a man that had been faithful. And because of his faithfulness, God said, "I will bless you." Because he wholly followed the Lord his God, God said, "I'm making you a promise that someday you will inherit the land on which you trod." And so today we see how that Caleb recalled God's promise. First of all, he saw that it was certain. We could look all throughout the scripture at God's faithfulness and making his promises, but I want to bring your attention to certain texts. You don't have to turn here. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 and 15 says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." That was God's promise to the people of Israel. Isaiah 44:21, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me." This was why Caleb was reminding Joshua. This was why Caleb was remembering the promises of God, because he knew that it was certain that God had not forgotten him. 45 years had passed since that promise had been made, yet he knew that God's promise was certain. Not only was it certain, it was also binding. It was binding. And what I mean by this is that not only had he known that God had not forgotten about it, but he knew that it would come to pass at some point. Some point in his life, God would show this promise to be true. It says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he hath promised by the hand of Moses his servant." Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Here in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb claimed God's promise after 45 years, and he was rewarded for his faith. My point is this: we may forget the promises of God, but he never does. He never does. If you are a child of God, perhaps you have had God's promises made real in your life. And if you were to take the time to reflect, whether students over this school year or parent, what God has done in your life, if you were to take the time to reflect, I am sure that you could see how that God's promises have been proven faithful in your life. Those promises are your security, student. As you go out this summer, as you go out to minister in an internship or be faithful serving in a local church as you work and try and provide for your next school bill, those promises can be your security in the ministry wherever God takes you. Those are your promises on which you may rest. Perhaps you're a graduate, getting ready to move on even tomorrow. and you're not sure where the Lord would have you go from here. I know that God's called me to take another 2 years of master's, but as far as where to go and plant a church in this country, I don't know. I only know that He wants the United States. I believe that's His will. I'm going to have to rest in the promises of God, and graduate, so will you, if you don't know where God would have you go in the next stage of life. Be like Caleb and remember that the promises of God, that He will lead you. Or maybe you're a student simply looking at a summer that is full of unknowns. Maybe the questions are passing through your mind, such as, how am I going to pay for my next school bill? What will my internship be like? Maybe you're traveling halfway around the world on a missions internship, and you just really don't know what God is going to lead you into. Or even, what am I going to do this summer? You don't have a job secured. You don't have a clear path set out ahead of you. Friend, take the promises of God at His word and trust in Him. Caleb rested in the promises of God for 45 years, and God showed himself faithful. Caleb claimed the promises of God, but secondly, he rehearsed God's faithfulness. Look at verses 10 and 11. He said, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." Caleb, when he went to Joshua, he rehearsed God's faithfulness. Brother Beal was mentioning just moments ago how that I'll be having a wedding. My fiance and I will be getting married just next week. You know, I was thinking about this. We're going to be having a wedding rehearsal, Lord willing, on Friday night. We've got all that scheduled. We're going to go through with the wedding party and rehearse all the steps of the wedding ceremony. Now, probably just about everyone, if not all of them, has been to at least one wedding, and maybe they have even participated in a wedding. So why do we have a wedding rehearsal? Well, wedding rehearsal is for the purpose of practicing or reviewing everyone's role in the wedding party and of going through the ceremony so that no one gets it wrong, right? Now, looking at weddings, I mean, generally something does go wrong. At least that's the word on the street when it comes to weddings. So I don't know why we have wedding rehearsals, but we're told to have wedding rehearsals, even though probably something will go wrong. But it's for the purpose so that we all remember what to do and where to go. You know what? In like fashion, you and I ought to rehearse God's faithfulness so that we remember what He has done in our lives. Why did he rehearse God's faithfulness? Why at this crucial moment in his life? First of all, it was to serve as a reminder. It was to serve as a reminder. Since God was faithful in the past, he would be faithful again. Because that is the nature and character of our God. That he is faithful. Psalm 89 verse 1 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Deuteronomy 7:9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Caleb rehearsed God's faithfulness to serve as reminder both to himself, to Joshua, to his family, that what God had done in the past in his life, he could be faithful again, even as he was an 85-year-old man. To serve as reminder, but secondly, it was to prove again that God is able. God had preserved Caleb's life and his strength through severe trials. I wish we could go back through the history, but just to bring to your mind a snapshot of Caleb's life. There was a time where when he had been standing faithful, when he and Joshua stood alone, the people of Israel had wanted to stone them, to kill them because of their faithfulness to God, because they said, "We can go into the land." But God had preserved his life. God had preserved his life for 45 years through the wilderness wanderings. As he said, even as Caleb said here in this passage, Caleb was simply proving again that God is able to do what he had said. Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Jeremiah 32:27, "I am the Lord God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." student, God can and will enable you to do His will for your life. Whether it's an area of personal growth in your life wherein God would have you take the next step, or whether it's a ministry opportunity this summer, God will prove Himself faithful. He will prove Himself faithful. Have you considered His faithfulness in your life this school year? I can look back in my own life. I can think of young men in my dorm, having talked with them, having seen them go through trials this semester and this school year. And I have to say, I serve a faithful God. Every one of us, if you are a child of God this morning, if you were to take time to reflect, you'd have to say, my God is faithful to me. My God is faithful. Every one of us ought to be able to identify ways that God has been faithful in our lives. What has God done in your life this school year? What has God done in your life, student? What has He taught you? You ought to be able to identify ways that He has. If He was faithful to Caleb, He will be faithful to you. Wherever He leads you this summer, He will be faithful. But I challenge you that, like Caleb, as Caleb wholly followed the Lord, you be faithful to Him no matter what. Be faithful to Him. Not only did Caleb recall God's promises, not only did he rehearse God's faithfulness, but thirdly, lastly, he sought out the next mountain. He sought out the next mountain there in verse 12. He said, "Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day." He saw the promises of God. He claimed them, saying, God will be faithful to what He has said He will do. He rehearsed God's faithfulness in his very own life. How that God had been faithful to him in keeping him alive, in sustaining him, and keeping him with strength through war, through conflict, through strife. He had rehearsed these things for the purpose of standing before Joshua and saying, I want to claim that promise of God. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me my inheritance. Allow me to take this next step. The Olympic motto is comprised of three Latin words, which translated mean faster, higher, stronger. This phrase was first uttered by a Catholic priest at a school sporting event in 1881, and eventually they were adopted as the motto of the International Olympics. According to the official website of the Olympics, it expresses the aspirations of the Olympic movement not only in its athletic and technical sense, but also from a moral and educational standpoint. Now, if you know anything about the Olympics, they might be great athletes, but when it comes to morality, you know about the history of the Olympics, perhaps particularly in recent years, it's not necessarily known for its moral qualities. But they say, I digress, they say that faster, higher, stronger is their motto, and it amplifies, it shows forth their moral qualities as athletes. Whether or not it really represents the Olympics' moral values is doubtful, but the point of the motto is clear. Those athletes want to excel and always be a step beyond everyone else. Child of God, that was Caleb to the Israelites. He was not willing to stay where he was spiritually. He was not willing just to get into the promised land and reside on the land of other tribes. He wanted his inheritance. He wanted the mountain that God had promised to him. He was willing to take the next spiritual step. That was Caleb. I want you to see it. First of all, this was a step of faith. He said, if so be, the Lord will be with me. Oh, he had rehearsed God's faithfulness. He had considered God's promises to him. But still, it was a step of faith. He said, I believe this is what God would have me to do. And I believe God will be with me. But it was a step of faith. Secondly, it was a step of commitment. He said, if so, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. There was a certainty about it, that if God was with him, he would drive out the Anakim from Hebron, from that inheritance that God had given him. It was a step of commitment, but thirdly, it was a step of obedience. He said, if the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Caleb had been promised the land, so now he was simply standing up and taking what was rightfully his. My challenge to you is this. God always has another spiritual mountain for you to climb. But will you take the first step? Will you take that first step this summer? You've taken steps this semester, college student. You have probably seen ways in your life, I trust, wherein you have grown, wherein God has challenged you. But if you step away from this place, from this stage of life, and move on into the semester and just go into cruise control, you will be going straight for destruction. You must look forward now and be ready to take the next spiritual step in your life, just like Caleb was. Because of the Lord's promises made to Moses, or made through Moses to Caleb, because of God's enabling, Caleb was ready to take the next spiritual mountain. He was ready to take that next step. Student, you have seen God's promises to you this semester. I trust that they have been made evident in your life. Every one of you, I trust, could see God's faithfulness to you. But are you willing to take the next spiritual step? You know, Neil Armstrong's step on the mountain was momentous. It was a grand time, both for the country and for him personally. But for him to have done that, for him to have gotten to the moon, there was a whole series of steps that had to take place, both in the government, both in NASA. There was a whole network, a whole team that had to work together to enable him to get to that point. It began on May 25th, 1961, when President Kennedy said these words to a joint session of Congress. I believe that this nation commit itself to achieving the goal, before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth. If President Kennedy had not made that bold statement, Neil Armstrong would never have stepped on the moon. If President Kennedy had never made that directive, if he had never made it a personal goal for the country and for his administration to see this come to fruition, Neil Armstrong would never have made his momentous step. He would never have made it to the moon. This summer, don't settle for lesser things in your ministry or in your own personal walk with the Lord. With the promises of God in mind, and the faithfulness of God as your assurance, take the next spiritual step in your life. Identify ways in your life wherein you need to grow this summer, how that you can draw closer to the Lord this summer, how that you can better serve Him, whether on the internship, whether on the mission field, whether at your job where God calls you to. Don't settle for just going and just serving the Lord in an average level, in a mediocre sense. You be willing to take the next spiritual step.